Hi, everybody.
Ow! Damn it. I just... Oh, crap. I just pulled a fingernail off of... Ow!
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got a fingernail that was a little snaggly. I was going to cut it as soon as we were done. It snagged on my clothing, and it ripped away from my... Oh!
Oh!
Do you want to see it? Do you want to see it?
No! Oh! Put that away!
It's bleeding.
Woo. Okay. Oh, God.
I'll power through.
That made my butt pucker.
Oh. I'm playing hurt. Here we go.
That's my favorite Kool-Aid, butt pucker. When
people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Hey, Kool-Aid! Oh, yeah!
I love that guy.
You remember watching that on Saturday morning cartoons?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember the Hawaiian Punch guy? What was he?
Oh, yeah.
But what
hey,
was
how
he?
About a nice Hawaiian Punch?
Yeah. Yeah, but what was he? He wore like, he had like this weird red hair and a white and blue shirt, right?
Like, and he had like.
But he had like antlers or something.
Antlers, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It was like this weird. Was it hair or the antlers?
Like a miniature Samoan moose. I have no idea what he was.
Miniature Samoan moose.
Miniature Samoan moose.
And didn't he wear like a blue and white striped
tunic? Yeah, he wore like
tunic.
A blue and white striped bowling shirt.
Yeah.
Let's see. His name was Punchy.
Yep.
And he always punched that like touristy looking guy whose name is apparently Opie.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch? And then he said, sure. And then he get punched in the face. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great way to sell your product. They just beat the shit out of people. Hey, you thirsty? Whap! Just smack right in the face. I had a blow up raft that I would ride in the ocean with that guy on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I swear to God.
A punchy raft?
Yeah, it's a Hawaiian punch, and it had that
big. Did you get it by saving Hawaiian Punch box tops or labels?
We got them at the, you know, they have those chintzy beach stores that are, you know, that sell all those.
Oh, my God. Do you know what I just remembered?
What?
Do you remember how Hawaiian Punch came?
What it came.
And it was can. You had to use a can opener. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Which means that you couldn't reseal it. So it just... Nope.
You just put it back in the fridge.
So it absorbed all the flavor of mom's leftover casserole, or you tried to put saran wrap on it, and you know what a failure that is.
And yeah.
Or you just drink the whole goddamn can in one sitting.
It was, and that was the most syrupy, sweet, just the sweetest drink of all time.
And the worst drink like that that came in a can, it was like tomato juice or V8. Because
the big
then
one,
it takes on. Yeah, it gets. You don't drink all that much tomato juice in one whack. Nope. You just put that back in the fridge, and you next time you look at it, there's this red crust around there.
You got to wipe it off or something. Yeah. Anything they had to open it with a can opener, and you couldn't reseal it. And it just, it was gross. And those cans, because they made them so heavy, it was before the, you know, crushable aluminum, you know, that really lightweight stuff. You could kill somebody with that can. You could crush somebody's skull with that can. Not that it ever happened, and not that I ever witnessed anything, and I don't know what you're talking about.
She was dead when I got there.
Right, with a can of Hawaiian Punch right next to her.
It's like the government was making them for the World War II. They were shipping Hawaiian Punch to soldiers.
Right.
Giant cans.
Might have been surplus, and they just slapped a pretty label on it.
The projectiles. Coming up a little bit later in the program.
Oh, yeah.
Today is the Saturday morning cartoon theme song extravaganza. Larry has compiled picks by Josh and me and himself, and we're going to go through those. I cannot wait.
Yes.
Cannot wait for
excited.
That walk down.
And down remind me before lane. We start, because I am going to have to give a little disclaimer before we start. So just remind me of that when we get there.
Well, since we're doing things a little backwards this time, and we're doing our correspondence at the front, Larry, have you used up all of the bays of your podcaster, or did you leave one open for a certain phone call theme? Because if you have it, I need it.
Well, I would never eliminate this beautiful tune.
Low energy bike. Low energy bike.
Hey, Yappers. Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Saturday was the 21st annual Cope Cherry Fair. What? It's always the third Saturday in August. This event is run by local community volunteers. About 6 years ago, I got volunteered to take care of the music for the fair. Find the bands, set up times to play, etc. Yeah, okay, I can do this. Then I find out I need to set up the stage, rig up the sound system, etc. Definitely a learning experience. I now have my own PA set up, and I'm semi-competent at running the sound. Last year, the fair was canceled along with all the other fun events in this part of the country. Mid-August here is a hot, dry time of the year. Not so much this year. Forecast high of 67 degrees and 50% chance of showers, with thunder showers possible. We put up a canopy over the stage, which turned out to be a good thing. During the first act, it decided to pour rain, with some thunder fairly close by. We were scrambling to get the electronics under cover and some pop-up canopies over the outdoor seating. Elwood is playing, never missed a beat. A true professional. After all that, I got to play 5 or 6 songs with Elwood. Then the sun came out. The rest of the day was uneventful, so to speak. It was a cherry fair day for a ditch-digging man. Caught. See you later.
Okay. So in my mind, I have this picture of him setting up a stage using a backhoe.
There has to be some heavy equipment involved. Absolutely. Yeah.
Using a giant excavator to put the stage up. I'm just going to make it out of dirt.
All right, stand by. Look. That was low energy, Mike.
That was low energy, Mike. What kind of fair did he say it was?
Did he say Cope? Cove,
Oregon.
Cove.
It's not a kind of cherry. It's a place in Oregon. Cove.
Oh, and it's the Cove
Cherry Fair.
Cherry Fair. Mm-hmm. Are cherries a big deal Oregon?
Oh. Sounds like it. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of agriculture out there. I mean, there's a big wine country in Eastern Oregon, and so I wouldn't be surprised.
Every time I go to the store and I see cans of berries, including boysenberries, they're from Oregon.
I saw a boysenberry pie in Ralph's the other day. I almost bought it just to try it.
Was it from Oregon?
Huh? I don't know. Now they sell like half pies and halves. Excuse me.
Oregon is currently
It was a half a pie. It was boysenberry.
Oh,
I was
weird.
I should buy that just to try it. And then I was like, no, I don't.
Oregon is currently the third highest producer of sweet cherries in the nation.
Well, how about that?
The warm
days
and
cool nights.
Who's
number one?
Oh, damn it.
Who's the number one cherry producer?
Number one.
I'm going to guess it's Virginia, because that's where George Washington allegedly chopped down cherries. That didn't happen. Cherries. Now, are these Bing cherries? Bing!
Washington, Bing. California, and Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Suck that, Oregon.
No.
Well, Washington can say
in
the same
face,
thing to us.
Oregon.
Yeah. Second. Yeah. We don't even have to have a fair.
Cherries and garlic would kick your ass. That's
right. I tell you what. A couple weeks ago, we went to the Sequoias, we were talking about that. That area up through there, like Visalia, towns like that, you can tell that they came up because of the agriculture there in the middle of last century. And then the economy kind of created its own economy. You know, you have people that just live there to work at the shoe store and so forth. And that's how communities like that are built.
Right.
But it's really neat to see communities like that that were built by agriculture and to see, how it kind of contributes to the fabric of society. It was interesting. That's all I had to say about that.
Well, thanks.
We got a little built-in
documentary and commentary.
I feel like Yul Houser talking about that. And did you know that this started with agriculture?
Yeah. That sure is fun.
We have one more phone call, my friends.
All right.
Let's get to it.
This is George from Long Beach.
Oh, boy.
In the last podcast, the most frightening words were when Larry said, "I'm the go-to guy when there is a problem at KR." Let me tell you about my experience with radio station problems. I've been an active listener since I was about 12 years old. At that time, KNAC 105.5 Long Beach Freeform Rock was my station of choice. They played, you know, the big ones, Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, lots of San Francisco bands, and of course Moody Blues, which I really enjoyed. Anyway, I would call in about station issues. Now, I thought it'd be cool to be part of a radio station, but not as a DJ, but as an engineer. Yeah, I wanted to be the engineer. And I would often call in with the top two issues, which, of course, are the killer ones, either dead air or transmitter down. Now, the calls would typically go like this. "Hey, this is KNAC," and I would say, "you have dead air." And they would say, "No, we're all fine." Oh, shit. Quick. This is George from Long Beach. Until next time.
You know, George definitely has radio engineer energy, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
That feeling, though, of dead air and just hearing it on your own when you're at the station is truly a terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's stomach in your throat feeling like, oh, my God. How, you know, it's dead air. And how long has it been dead? You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I'm
right,
doing something
right.
else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrifying.
Well, and also the second thought is it my fault?
Yeah. And everybody starts running around like just ants just swarming everywhere. Yeah. Like, what's going on? What's going on?
I remember my first radio job in Lafayette, Indiana, I was working days selling cellular phones, which were new at the time, and I was working overnights at the radio station, and so I was working two full-time jobs, and I would get, I don't know, you know, 4 or 5 hours of sleep a day, so it was just not enough sleep for sure, and I would, like, if I'd fall asleep on the couch, one of my roommates would come in and he would wake me up by shaking me and saying, "Andy, dead air, dead air."
Oh,
I would wake up
jerk.
Swinging. Oh my God.
Oh,
it was
asshole.
The worst.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
it was
a dick move.
Because yeah, it's, you wake up thinking that your hair is on fire yeah. and it was just horrible. I mean, yeah, it's the absolute worst thing, but I think you're right about George, Larry. He's got that radio engineer energy because he sounds pretty smart. And I, you know, like he'd be pretty capable
sure.
technically of,
yeah.
of handling things, but he also has this kind of peculiar gathering of proclivities of you know, things from NASCAR to whatever that it's a strange mix
yeah.
that you expect from
yeah.
your average garden variety
exactly.
radio engineer.
He's not necessarily eccentric, but eclectic in his lifestyle,
yes.
and
yes.
I think he definitely fits the mode. He would be delightful to have around and learn so much from. The difference between George and the engineers I work with is that he's paying attention when a station goes off the air, as opposed to my engineers who look at me and go, "No, it shouldn't be off the air." and that's when I'm Charlie Brown banging my head against a brick wall going, "Well, I'm not hearing any music." So anyway, let's not get into that. You want to dig into the yaff sack?
Let's
maybe
dive
yes!
in, let's dive into that glorious sack of yours.
By the way, once again, the phone number is 626-657-6428 if you would like to call us there. Larry, how can people get a letter into your sack?
Well, go ahead and drop a little something right in there at yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. We've got a lot of catch up on. I'll just kind of try and consolidate some of this. This is coming from Tim. The subject line, "No Van Gate." Tim says, "Hey, all, there's Sprinter Gate or Shit and Shower. But how about The Quest, capital T, capital Q, in honor of the Man of La Mancha and the Impossible Dream? Maybe play Impossible Dream as background music during the weekly Quest update," meaning Andy's attempt at building his own van. Andy's alter ego, Don Quixote, could give the updates. I think Josh should provide the Pittsburgh bidet for the project.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking, let's see, Food Court could divert from passing judgment on food and have a special episode where they pass judgment on the many different versions of Impossible Dream. And speaking of Food Court, mac and cheese, homemade versus craft.
Oh, I forgot to do that thing again.
Yeah. What's this person's name?
This is Tim Downing.
Tim, I am not fucking tilting at windmills, Tim. I will have my camping craft before I die.
All right.
I'm going to let him live his dream.
Pulling
Don Quixote.
I'm so pulling Robert Goulet singing Impossible Dream for the next episode.
I'm Robert Goulet.
Here's
I'm
one.
Sprinter Van.
Here's a note from Cheryl Dennison. Cheryl emails, "It seems that Sam Farmer is the epitome of your artificial friends since he has disappeared from your podcast. He named it quite appropriately. He is the artificial friend. I listen every week." Cheryl talking smack. "I listen every week and always get a laugh. You guys are funny together." From Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl. Very nice.
I can't wait to share that with...
I mean, I sincerely doubt we're going to get him back anytime soon.
Now he's back in football season. Yeah. It's his busiest time of year.
I think we've lost him entirely. Yeah. This is from Gary. This is a long one. I'll try and jam through it. "Hi, guys. I wrote a few months ago regarding Andy's and my health challenges. You may remember he had some heart bypass surgery, I believe. I'm glad to hear Andy is close to being done, short of getting his spleen yanked out. Remains to be seen, Gary. And I have finished my cardio rehab after bypass surgery." There it is. I lost about 30 pounds in the process, but I don't recommend it as a weight loss program.
Hey, I lost 25 pounds like that with lymphoma, but I wouldn't necessarily suggest it.
Yeah. He also asks, Gary also asks, "When is Larry on the air at K-Earth? He's listened to Andy on 88.5, Angels Baseball, Heidi and Frank," he mentions, "and the Mark and Linda podcast. I am on the air on K-Earth usually between 7 and midnight, Monday through Friday, and on Saturday nights as well. But lately I've been doing a lot of fill-in and other shifts, but I am back to nights, Gary, and you can find us at k-earth101.com or on the Odyssey app."
Now, let me ask you this real quick before you move off of that. I ask this periodically. I think it's been a year since I've asked this question, at least. Now that we're in 2021, we're in a new decade. When I first moved to L.A. in 1997, K-Earth 101 was L.A.'s oldie station playing the Beatles.
Yep.
It would go back as far as, 1963 for music.
Yeah.
Now, in 2021, what is the most recent song I will hear Monday through Friday on K-Earth? What's the most recent? Because when I first got here, it was into the 1980s.
Right.
They were just getting into the 1980s.
Right.
Now, 4 years later, what is the most recent song I will ever hear on K-Earth 101, the oldie station?
Well, I can give you that answer, and it's not indicative of many titles that we play, because it is a little bit of an outlier. It just happens to be one that people really love. But I would say it is "Hey Ya" by Outkast, 2003.
What? 2003. No, really?
Yeah.
That's just 18 years old.
Yep. I think maybe there are like two or three songs from the 2000s that we slide in. Outside of that, it might be "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing" by Aerosmith, which has an artist longevity connection to classic rock.
Sure.
There are versions of older songs that we play, like we play the Fugees version of "Killing Me Softly" as opposed to the Roberta Flack version.
Yeah, because the Roberta Flack version, although lovely, is a snooze.
Yeah. So, 2003, "Hey Ya." We have tried playing Uptown Funk and it just didn't sound right, so we yanked that off the air. And one song that always tests in our audience testing is "Boulevard of Broken Dreams" by Green Day. And it just sounds weird when we try it, so we haven't quite gone that far. But "Hey Ya."
It's a little too edgy. A little too edgy.
"Hey Ya" totally works. "Hey Ya," just people don't even realize it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep. Let's see. Well, I still got more to go here. This is a good one. This is this subject line is "Call the Guy." This is from Steven Garcia. Larry, Andy, and Josh, I was listening to the pod on my commute home when you guys were talking about calling the guy to fix things around the house. I looked over and saw this handyman's truck. So if you guys can check your chat, I sent you guys an image that Steven sent to us.
He's driving along. Oh, is this safe to open? Because when I click on this, it says potential security issue detected.
Nope, you're fine.
All right.
Open it up, and it's out of his passenger side window. Next to him is some sort of handyman that, that he's driving next to. The logo on the truck is "That Guy." Which hysterical.
It's great. It's the logo. You have to describe it. It's a cartoon hand with a thumb pointing back at. So it's like that guy.
That guy.
Who's got two thumbs and can fix your sinkerator? Right. That guy.
That guy.
That's
very
great.
Cool. Thank you, Stephen. Kathy Beck wrote a while ago and says, Mark Thompson is in SoCal for a while. Why don't you have him on? Oops. missed that opportunity. And probably the answer is because he didn't tell us he was in town. Unless Andy knew.
He did actually reach out. Congratulations to Mark Thompson. He's now a grandfather.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a granddad, and he's in town getting to know his, trying to bond with this infant and hanging out with his children. And he did reach out like a month ago or so. And I should tell this story. He reached out. He's like, Hey, we should get together this week to have some lunch. I'll bring lunch over. We'll come over and we'll have lunch. I said, that sounds great. It'd be great to see you. So the entire week goes by. I don't hear shit. So the next week, it goes by. And so when it comes to the following weekend, I send him a text, and it was for the website. It was a link to the website of City of Hope Cancer Hospital. And I said, hey, here's a link in case you want to make more stand up more people with cancer, sometime this week, if that's what gets you off.
Oh, God.
He left the shittiest message. I'm coming over there and you're buying. I swear to God, I'm not through with you. So that was the last time I talked to Mark, but we should catch up.
Yeah. Here's one, a quick one from George or Jorge saying gratitude for what you do, .. and anger for what you don't. I'll cut this one down.
That should be on a cup right there.
Here we go. Hello, my dear artificial friends, Andy. Thank you. And by the way, if you guys hear Bixby barking his ass off in the background, it's because we have Alex has a friend over and he hates him.
What's weird is I hear it now and I didn't hear it before.
I didn't hear it at all.
I brought it up. Hello, my dear artificial friends. Andy, thank you and glad you're doing well. I lost my aunt to breast cancer in February and I was so down in the dumps about it, I couldn't even hear the word cancer without filling with a mixture of sadness, rage, and confusion. It wasn't until the topic of cancer episode where hearing your positive and upbeat take on cancer, did I actually feel like I was able to start healing? Thank you for that, and I am glad you're doing well.
Oh, that's really
nice. Then, Josh, you... Josh, you shut your whore mouth. Butterscotch is awesome, and I've been waiting for years for you to hack up that loogie. So I'm also shocked and appalled into redundancy at the lack of hot dogs in your white trash cookbook. Love you all. Thanks for the laughs that sustain me in traffic. Josh, what does your whore mouth have to say?
Butterscotch still sucks. It's gross.
You know what you need in your candy. whore mouth is what? Some whorehound candy. That's what I think.
So again, yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. Thank you all. If we don't get to read them or reply to every single one, please know that they are read and appreciated. And we love you guys for checking in with us. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And if you write in today and you don't hear an answer for, like a week or so, I don't know what to tell you.
Cause you're screwed.
Cause we never take a week off. If that's what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Larry, yes. It's time. time.
It's here. It's finally here.
All right. Before we get into this, here's my disclaimer. Now, for those of you listening, I feel certain that everybody listening understands that there was a time when those of us who were younger and more innocent were not necessarily aware, certainly, of problematic issues like, oh, cultural appropriation, or for that matter, that we could have predicted that certain figures in our formative years would have turned out to be disreputable of character. So I just want to say that please accept this feature in the good-natured manner in which it was intended, as just pleasant memories of fun songs that had an impact on our young lives at a time where all we cared about was breakfast cereal and glossy, bright, fun entertainment in our lives. Okay,
I have no insight into what you've
you
prepared,
will,
but I know the first three words of what you're about to play. I swear to God, and I think they're the same word.
Well, not yet. We're not there yet. I just wanted that was a blanket statement because I realized that one of Josh's picks and one of my picks have some. Well, two of my picks have some issues if you really want to dig in. Probably all of us. I mean, there are animal rights activists that are going to be up in arms about some of these things. Andy, speaking of which, let's start with you. The first one you sent me, the older one, which when you sent this to me, I was like, I have no idea what that was. And then sure enough, when it started, I knew every word.
Weird
that I couldn't remember the cartoon, and I knew exactly how the whole theme would go. Do you want to just hear it, or do you want to preamble here?
Just do it. This is amazing.
Herman and Catnip.
Herman, the mouse, Catnip, the cat, packs his bags and leaves the house. Skiddle-dee, skiddle-dee-lay, all
just the like the holiday.
Skiddle-dee, skiddle-dee-lay, Herman's on his way.
So good.
It's so weird. Oops, sorry.
I've never even heard. Who is?
It's an oldie but a goodie, man. And it's one of those that was replayed as compilations probably on Saturday morning.
And the thing for me is now, you know where it comes up in my everyday life?
Wait, you got to say what it is. I don't even know the show.
It's Herman and Catnip. It's basically a Tom and Jerry. It's okay. Herman is a mouse and Catnip is the cat, just like Tom is the cat and okay. Jerry is the mouse. It's one of those, you know, itchy and scratchy where they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah,
all
it
the
feels
time.
Like it was a knockoff maybe of Tom and Jerry, which was probably very popular.
Or vice versa. I don't know. I don't know which one came first. Yeah. But the where that comes into my life on a regular basis, if I'm driving through a city and I come to Little Italy, in that city, I will find myself singing little Italy, all the mice are feeling gay.
So dumb.
It's where my head goes. Well, there you go. You're welcome. Herman and Catnip.
All right. I'm going to go next. And this one for me, and by the way, I do want to apologize. At the time I was dubbing these, not all of these exist in the most pristine remixed sound because they just aren't necessarily available that way. So this one in particular was a very weird waveform, but this is one of the coolest theme songs. This kind of goes to my, remember when we did primetime shows, my Mannix theme song, which was a show I never watched, but I loved the theme too. Well, this one has like a lot going on and I dig it. Pterodactyl.
What?
Lots of shooting. Lots of bullets. Explosions. Action. Robots crashing through walls. More shooting. This is Saturday morning, people. It's the most violent Saturday morning cartoon of all time.
What the hell is this?
All that brass coming in. We're in a jet plane. We're with Dr. Quest, Race Bannon, Johnny Haji. There's your cultural appreciation. And Bandit the Dumb Dog, who always was there for comic relief. Johnny Quest was the most violent cartoon. Now, as it turns out, that cartoon was originally, as they did back in the day, it was created for prime time, and it actually aired on CBS at night as a primetime show. It was the same for the Flintstones originally. Mm-hmm. It was the same for even like Space Ghost. They made these adult cartoons.
Doesn't his dad look like Anderson Cooper? Doesn't he have like white hair?
That's Race Bannon.
Oh, okay. He's with a black turtleneck and the white hair.
Yeah. What a great radio name. I'm Race Bannon.
It's such a wild cartoon because it's like space aliens and conspiracies and robots and it was pretty wild.
I never got that cartoon. I never understood like what they were.
It was adventures. It was like there was like a flying saucer. I mean, it was everything. It was always Dr. Quest was on some scientific expedition, and usually there was a very bad men who were trying to do something, had advanced technology. It was very sci-fi. There was people died in this thing, and stuff exploded, and there were all sorts of interesting side. It aired in the early 70s when they put it into syndication, and that's when I watched it. But that theme song was just like, there's so much going on in there. Love Johnny Quest. I apologize for Haji, voiced by a guy named Danny Bravo.
Wow.
Which is another great radio name. Also, if you look around, there is over the years some conjecture that Dr. Quest and Race Bannon were in a secret relationship, because if you start to look at it as an adult, there are certain scenes where like Johnny will come into the room that Dr. Quest and Race Bannon are sharing, and it's like Ricky and Lucy, they're each in two twin beds, but Race has his shirt off and he's still under the covers, and it's like, I think you guys are more than just colleagues.
Someone knocks on the door and you hear, "Don't come in yet. Don't come in yet. Hold on.
There was never a Mrs. Quest around. She's never. Anyway. All right, Josh, let's go with let's go with the more recent one.
OK, this one, this is not a. Yeah, I think it was the question last week that I brought up. I remember watching this every day. First thing after school, when I got home, I would make myself a triple decker peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Nice.
Go turn on the Zenith, one of the floor consoles where
it was a Trinitron, right?
I don't remember. That sounds familiar. Yeah, but it was like one of those big fake wooden cabinets with it's like 3 feet wide. Yeah. The screen's 12 inches. You
know what I mean? Did it have the stereo, like the turntable on one side?
This TV. At one point in time, it was color TV, but all of a sudden it would just switch to black and white. And then if you smashed your foot on the floor, it would go back into to color. And I specifically remember like my old man going, "Son of a bitch," and just smashing the floor with his foot. And then the TV would go back to color. But yeah, that was I would be laying on the floor around 3:30, 4 o'clock every weekday. And then this would come on.
Wait for it.
So good.
It's funky.
Wait for the really intricate, elaborate lyrics.
Yes. So good.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's pretty
Inspector
much it.
Inspector Gadget.
That's it. I hear this song and I'm immediately laying on my stomach, eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, doing my homework.
Laying on your stomach with your elbows and your hands underneath your chin.
4 inches away from the screen. Yep.
Great.
I know that affected the curvature of my spine watching the TV like that when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. I always got the don't sit like that. And I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Your legs are going to stay that way. You know, I got that kind of crap. Leave me alone. Watching cartoons. All right. Who's next? Oh, Andy, let's do your second one. I am immediately jealous when you sent me this one that I didn't think of it. I would have fought you for it. But since you picked it first and it hadn't entered my mind, but it is the perfect theme song.
It's so good. Just hit it.
All right.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just
call for Super Chicken.
Fred, if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it. Besides, you knew
the job was dangerous when you took it.
He will drink his super sauce and he will kill his horror loss, and he will bring them in alive and kicking. There is one thing you should learn when there is no one else to turn to.
Call for Super Chicken. Call for Super Chicken.
Oh.
What cartoon is that?
That is Super Chicken.
Never heard of it.
It was part of the compilation. I mean, you could have easily picked George of the Jungle, could have had the same effect. But
okay.
I was a Super Chicken man.
Oh, my God. George of the Jungle would have been great.
George of the Jungle, Super Chicken, and the lesser.
George of the Jungle.
Watch out, Van Tom you
Slick.
Me.
Tom Slick was the third
Tom
one.
Tom Slick. Yeah. Tom Slick.
The race car driver.
Let me tell you why. It's the best job for the guy. Oh, God. So good.
Yeah. Super Chicken was fantastic. And I can't believe that is one that hasn't been rebooted. I would watch an animated film updated with, you know, somebody with like the way they did the Lego movies, you know, just like great humor. Super Chicken and Fred. Oh, my God. You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred. Oh, so good.
so good.
All right. Here we go. Okay, here's one that I am kind of apologizing for. When I thought of it, I was so happy, and it's going to make me so happy to hear it. There are issues. I'm just going to play it.
Who is the superhero? Sarge?
Nope.
No. Rosemary, the telephone operator?
No.
No. Henry, the mild-mannered janitor?
Could be.
There we go.
Hong Kong Phooey.
Number one super guy.
Hong Kong Phooey. Quicker than the human eye.
Okay.
He's got Hong Kong Scatman Phooey. Crothers.
Scatman so Crothers, man. Yep. It's doing the theme song and the voice for the character. It's ridiculous. What a stupid concept for a show.
I have one thing to say about that, Larry.
Uh-huh.
Terrific.
Here's the concept. So in a police precinct, your human cops and secretaries are interacting with a dog janitor who is disguised as the janitor in order to have access to crime information so he can turn into the kung fu hero known as Hong Kong Phooey, which with simply a mask, almost a bandana with eye holes cut out across his face, is a secret superhero that no one recognizes. The dog that you work with.
Yeah. The dog.
Dumbest thing ever. Greatest theme song. Scatman Crothers. Crazy. Shout out, my man. We miss
this
you.
This is why, Josh, I'm guessing you probably have the same experience with Owen. Dogman books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
These, you know, these graphic novels, these Dav Pilkey things.
He has all that shit.
It's Dav Pilkey grew up watching Hong Kong Phooey just like we did. Yep. Wow. What a pull. That is awesome,
right?
Larry.
Good, right?
That's
good
awesome.
One.
All right. I was really close to doing the overture. Hit the lights.
Hit the lights.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I'm like, that's a classic. That's like the mash.
You're
thing.
Making me think of.
That's almost too obvious.
That's why so many right now. List.
Yeah.
God, like Thundar the Barbarian and the Teen Angels.
What about the Hair Bears? Remember
that? Captain
Bear
Caveman.
Yeah, here
Captain
come the
Caveman
Hair Bears.
And the Teen Angels.
Oh, Captain Caveman. You want to talk about an effed up cartoon. Captain Caveman.
Same people that made Hong Kong Phooey, by the way.
Okay, so he's like a mustache with arms and he's a goatee with arms and legs and a nose, and he's hanging out with like three hot chicks and
The Teen Angels.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, what is he? Is he the roadie? What is he? Where did he come from? Why is he captain? Why is he a captain? Who gave him that distinction? Who said, okay, yeah, you are officially a captain. You know, like, you keep working harder, you can be a lieutenant caveman.
He's the cartoon equivalent of Ron Jeremy. And am I wrong? My memory's foggy on this, but didn't he get his superpowers just by screaming, Captain Caveman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've tried that in a bar. I've tried that in a bar before, and it doesn't work.
All right.
All right, Josh. Are you ready to wrap things up on a high note here?
Yeah. This, all I got to say, I mean, you got to picture this through the eyes of a kid. I loved this show, man. I still like this show. This theme, the show is actually a good song. I was listening to it. I'm like, you know what? This isn't a bad song, even if it had nothing to do with the cartoon. But go ahead.
I knew it. Hey.
Yes. That bass.
That bass. Yeah.
Hey. It's Fred Albert, and I'm gonna sing a song for you. Learning from each other while we do our thing.
La, 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 gonna help the guy.
This is Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun. If you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
We need to be careful, Bill.
I bet we did. I bet we learned a little something.
Yeah.
I don't know about what to do, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we were making fun of speech impediments. Bill Cosby going on. There's a character called Fat Anything. It doesn't hold up, but the song is freaking great.
Dumb Donald.
But the song's great, man. It's a funky song. It's a cool. I just like that song. But I remember being excited when that, I didn't see it very much, but like by genuinely being excited when that was on Saturday mornings. Yeah. I love Fat Albert.
There's one great piece of trivia in that. That theme song is so good, you would think it was done by somebody well-known or whatever. It's not. It's just kind of the stock group of composers and performers that they had on hand. But one of the background singers is Kim Carnes, believe it or not. She did a lot of background singing for like jingles and things before she had her
Betty Davis eyes.
Big hit, yeah.
That is amazing. Well, it'd probably be interesting to see who's playing some of the instruments on there. It could very well be the Wrecking Crew for all we know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good theme. It really is. It's funky, man.
You know what it reminds me of? Sanford and Son.
I was just about to say that. I look at them as the same thing. They're like, those are both just flat out good songs, man.
It's a funky, great. Good.
They did have great musicians playing on these things. I mean, they spent some money. And if you noticed, almost without exception, these things, theme songs were so long. They told a story. They gave you the setup. I went down a rabbit hole the other day with failed Michael Keaton sitcoms from the 70s and 80s. He was in a show called Working Stiffs with Jim Belushi that lasted for like a minute. And the opening theme song is, it tells you everything. It's a minute and 10 seconds. They get up out of bed. It's all shtick. They get up out of bed. Alarm goes off. They're living in some rooming house with a bunch of people. Jim Belushi tries to fold Michael Keaton up in the sofa bed. They go downstairs where they all share a bathroom with a bunch of wacky neighbors in this boarding house. They drive to their work in a beat up piece of crap car where when they stop, the front bumper falls off, the fender falls off the car. They go in, they punch the clock, they're ready to be working stiffs. You know the theme song's building up to the words, they're working stiffs, which it does. And then they look over at the calendar, Saturday? What? And that's the opening theme every fucking week.
Wow. Is there their names come up onto the screen, did they do something wacky and then turn and look right at the camera and be like, oh.
Yeah, they're both standing there looking at you as it comes up. Jim Belushi first, but lower. Michael Keaton second, but higher. And they're looking like, and you're right, all the other guest stars are like turning and looking, laughing.
Yep, exactly.
theme songs, man.
What was their occupation?
They worked in some random factory, like in a distribution. I mean, I don't even know if they...
Working stiffs. You think they'd work in a mausoleum or something.
Right.
That was...
No, play on the stiffs? Yeah. Larry, hats off to you. A tip of the cap.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Fun one, man.
For aggregating all of this. That was good. Yeah. Now I want to do it again because I've got two more for sure.
Yeah, I kept thinking of them.
I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah, let's go out on that. Good.
It has been a good time. Larry, how can people get a hold of you if they need to?
You know what? Check me out on the Instagram at TheLarryMorgan, and always feel free to drop a line at YourArtificialFriends. I put the at in front of that. Don't put an at in front of that. The address is YourArtificialFriends@gmail.com.
Yash?
You can reach my whore mouth at JoshuaJFlinger at gmail.com.
Shut your whore mouth, Josh.
I wish we had, that was on a call so we could isolate
don't,
that.
Don't bother. Don't
shut your whore mouth.
I think it's got to go on, it's got to go on a mug or a t-shirt at some point. Hey, Andy, how about you? Who would want to get a hold? I mean, how could they get a hold of you?
Grateful for you asking, asshole. It's Andy Chanley on Instagram, DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook, and Andy_Chanley on the Twitter. Fellas?
Yeah?
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasure and friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends. That was really nice.
It was. It was okay.
It was okay until Bill Cosby showed up.
It was all right.
Yeah. I put a damper on things.
Exactly. How did Jell-O pudding pop?
Hey, fellas. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.